I'm just making some really good strides.
Good.
And it's just, yeah, I can't even describe. Just words can't do it justice really right now.
Well, man, I'll tell you, it's not always going to be easy.
No.
And when it gets hard, lean in. And when it gets hard, smile and know like that's the purpose, man. The reason we're here is to learn to work harder.
Yeah, and I'm always that now when something is hard, I instead of shying away from it, I lean right into it. So it's just
And that sounds weird, but like the smile actually makes a difference because at the level of your brain knows a smile as like this is a reward. And so I'll often get into just ridiculous hard places in the gym or otherwise, and like have this big stupid grin on my face. Everyone's like, "What's this crazy person smiling about?" I'm like, "That's
And
just
like,
train
there's a lot
myself."
of guys at the gym that, I used to kind of be shy to talk, and I'm just going up to all of them and talking to them, and oh man, like, you're coming along, or like, there's a couple of super jacked guys, and I'm like, holy shit, dude! Like, anyway, it's just I kind of came back a slightly different person, so.
Yeah, man, and that isn't that what life's about, right? That's the kind of point of today's conversation is I want to get in or lean in on some goal setting and establishing. I think we talked about this in Costa Rica a little bit. It's like the thing that maybe I have become known for in my coaching community is like helping people see what they're capable of more than they see what they're capable of, right? More than you see what you're capable of. So I'd love to talk about that. Holgren, how you feeling, man? I actually am very curious what your body weight is. Did anyone step on the weight since Costa Rica and actually see their body weight gone up a lot?
202 when I got back.
What'd you start at?
Went down there at 195.
Yeah, are you leaner as well?
Yeah, I feel a lot leaner.
Yeah. So
Hard to walk, spent.
Gareth's probably 4% leaner. In 2 weeks and 5 pounds heavier. It's crazy. He obviously
Nice.
he's a unique animal, but yeah, like crazy the difference everyone's seeing. Daniel, how about you, man?
Doing good. Yeah, actually I weighed today. I was surprised and I'm 176 and I was 170 when I went. And I was sick, but I have a hard time gaining weight. Obviously gut issues, but that aside, yeah, amazing what you can do, what you can pack in 3 days. And
Yeah.
yeah, I don't
And
feel, I'm not fatter. I haven't been eating more, normal.
yeah. And did you feel overtrained when you were there?
To be honest, no.
Yeah.
I was surprising that, as hard as we went, the soreness, it was good, but it wasn't crazy. And nothing, it wasn't like before if I had trained that hard by myself, I would have like ligament or joint pain afterwards, but it was just the muscles and
Nate, how about you, man? How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Like some of the guys said before, definitely more motivated. Coming into the gym, coming in with a little more authority over the weights. I am a little heavier and leaner. Kind of surprised myself that my body could change so much after just 7 days.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Beautiful, man. Good to hear it. Chris, any feedback from you, Chris Wallace?
I'll second everything that these gentlemen just said. I actually messaged Fudge yesterday, and because I'll take like post-workout pumps and send them to him. And I mentioned, I said, this is going to sound weird, but I feel and I look more jacked than I did before Costa Rica. Sounds weird. And he was like, yeah, I mean, low stress, high intensity training. And like, not to mention like how well fueled I was anyway, with like the delicious prep meals, the electrolytes that we had access to, all of the water, going to bed early every night. It was just a great event. And kind of like what Chris had mentioned, I'm on fire in the gym, man. Just having another gear, having mechanical drop sets, just different elements or ways to turn it up a notch and find and realize that I've got one, two, three, four, five more reps in me with every, literally with every exercise.
So for the next one, I'll let you guys know there's a next one coming up. And it's going to be extra special. I think we're going to extend it to 5 days of training instead of three. And then 2 days of, mindfulness, what we call the monk. And so I suggest you guys, I'll start saving now, because it'll be a great one. It'll be better. I can't not one up myself. I've got some things up my sleeve. I'll let you guys know the next one's going to be in Marbella, Spain. It's going to be in April. I'm not exactly sure on the dates, because I'm actually going to end up doing 2 weeks, like one week with my group and then 1 week with the entire group. I know my group is the 8th through the 15th. So that means your group will either be before or after. So if you guys have the ability to lock in those weekends and start saving up for Marbella, I will keep you posted on what the developments are. So gents, the reason I decided today to wrap up this year with a bit of year in review for you guys, and a little reflection, we'll say, and then a little, stepping on the accelerator for 2024. Because one of the things that I'm doing in my group with my coaching clients that I want to share with you, and I'll share with my coaches tomorrow and hopefully support you guys on this, is one of the things I'm doing with every one of my guys, we'll say is financially very successful, but maybe they have other areas of their life where they want to get better, right? They have, maybe the physical body wants to get better. Maybe their relationships want to get better. Maybe they're managing stress, and maybe their sleep is poor. maybe their nutrition needs some support, or they want some longevity protocols. And so I am supporting everyone and setting goals outside of just the physical body. So every one of my guys, even though financially successful, we are setting financial goals. As an example, one of my clients, when he started with me, said, "Hey, Ben, I want to 10X my business in the next 5 years. I think he's already done it. We're 2 years in. I think he's already 10X his net worth in 2 years. And not that I played an enormous role in that. I didn't obviously give him financial advice, but when I know the goals, I'm able to ask very specific questions on what is holding you back from achieving those goals, right? So if for example, this one client says, "Hey, I want to 10X my net worth in 5 years. Okay, what needs to happen to do that, right? So do you have the daily energy? Do you have the focus? Do you have the plan? And are you able to execute that plan? Because most of you guys in general probably know what it takes to increase your income by 2X or by 50% or 5X, right? Like, oh, if I just did this or this one, two or three things, I can tell you what it is for me. If I just did these one, two or three things, my income would 5X. I'll tell you what they are in a minute. There's always a linchpin, and the thing that holds people back from truly achieving the life of their dreams is not the inability. It's the inability to set a plan and follow through, and maybe not always seeing as clearly as someone else might what the opportunity is in front of you. So is it like, man, if I had an extra 2 hours a day of like deep focused work, I would crush it. Or, if I had a little more confidence, I would crush it. Or if, I had a new opportunity, I would crush it, right? And all of those are very realistic requests to have of yourself. As an example, if the opportunities aren't coming up, there it has nothing to do with life. It's like you're not showing up at the way you should show up, or the way you need to show up to get the opportunity, right? So I'll give you another example. I've worked with a guy for a year, different client, this week in Costa Rica. Before Costa Rica, he said, "Hey, man, I really want to do this specific thing in my business and it requires some investment." I was like, "Okay, well, how does investment come into somebody's business?" Well, investment comes into somebody's business when you show up. Well, anyone's ever invested in a business, you either invest in a product or you invest in a person, right? And in general, people invest in people. And so this guy's like, "Hey, I want people to invest in me. So what does that require of you?" You need to show up at your highest and best. You need to be a person worth investing in, right? So again, this is very vague because I don't have any specific examples for you guys, specific about you, but I really want you to think about, set some really, really lofty financial goals and start to go, well, what is it about me that would have to happen to set these, to make these financial goals a foregone conclusion? Like, this is inevitable, it's going to happen. And so I'll tell you the three things for me, and I'll be vulnerable with you, and I'll tell you three things that for sure, if I just do these things diligently, my business 5x for sure, 5x's. The big one is I have to be diligent with my schedule. And I have so many things on my plate that if I don't schedule my life and maintain it with discipline and like ruthless discipline, I don't scale because it's so easy for me to not do the shit I need to do, right? I'm like, oh, I had to do this thing that was urgent, but I didn't do the thing that was important. So if I schedule my days 7 days a week, meaning I schedule my workouts, I schedule my meals, I schedule my important, my big rocks first, and then everything else fits into the rest of the space, I don't scale my business next year. So I'm committing to hiring a coach to keep me not only scheduled, but accountable personally, because I know that I don't do it well, right? I don't do it well. I like to give everyone when I'm present. I like you guys, if you're in Costa Rica, you know this. Like, I want to give you all my time and attention when I'm right here. And then sometimes that bleeds into all the things that are important to my life and I don't get shit done. So that's a big one for me. Second one for me is meditation. If I don't meditate, I know I'm not going to be maximally successful because I get distracted. I have my mind going in every different direction, running around like a squirrel. And meditation for me allows me to stay focused in my prefrontal cortex rather than in my reactive amygdala, right? So I can be directive and move in a specific direction. That's my choice, rather than being reactive to the wind of life. So meditation, non-negotiable for me. Third one, cardiovascular training. I got to do cardiovascular training 4 to 5 hours every week. Why? One, my body composition is better. Two, my recovery is better. Three, my energy is better. If I do those three things and I follow a disciplined regimen next year, my business fucking scales, right? One, I look better. Two, I perform better. Three, I have clarity on where I'm going. That's it. So we draw a correlation between these simple things that have nothing to do with my finances that ultimately unlock my finances. You guys following? So in everyone's life, there's things that have nothing to do with the investments you make that will allow you to show up more effectively in your finances, in your fitness, in your relation, your family, in your relationships. So identify what these things are in yourself. And if you don't know, then bring up the conversation right now and let's try to get to the bottom. It's going to take some vulnerability. But I guarantee every one of you guys, there's the one obvious thing that you're like, fuck, I know I need to do this and I'm not doing it. I know I need to do these one, two or three things. And if I just did that, everything else changes. Can everybody agree that there's probably some things in your life that if you're self-aware, you're like, yep, if I just did this, everything changes. Yeah. Yeah, totally. And maybe it's how you reflect on your life, right? Maybe it's taking a day to reflect on 2023 and go, how did I show up for myself in the 7 domains of life? Do you guys want the 7 domains of life? We had this conversation last time. So John DeMartini is kind of my guy with the 7 domains. I really like his, he's got the most complete. I've got so much writing in here from him. Use these. This is not DeMartini's, but this is what I've used in the past. Drop in here. Bam. But that's not DeMartini. That's Mike DeSanti, but equally as effective. So here's DeMartini's. You guys choose whichever feels more for you. The hardest thing to do, gentlemen, in my opinion, is to be vulnerable enough to be honest with yourself. We all tell ourselves little euphemisms, little bullshit lies about, I'm doing okay. Or sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, sometimes when something's really stressing you out, we mute ourselves, don't we? We try to escape or numb, right? I don't know if anyone here drinks. Drinking is just numbing you from the stress or the reality of your life. I don't think anyone here is a drinker, but maybe. And it's just numbing you. Rather than allowing you to fully experience the life, we numb ourselves and you prevent yourself from taking action. So when those actions, those little pains come up, those little stresses, those little anxieties, stop. Sit with yourself and go, what's the thing I need to do that I'm not doing? And this is where breakthroughs happen in life. So there's a client in my coaching right now who's probably now worth, I think probably 10, 15 million. And I'm fucking positive this guy's going to be worth 50 million by the end of next year, because he's changed so much in the last 12 months and every opportunity just keeps falling into his plate because of who the man he's showing up as, right? He's not doing anything special. He's just the man he's showing up as is a desirable person. Everyone's like, I want this guy's secret sauce. I want to be around this guy. I want his energy. I want his focus. I want his drive. And it's because of, if you ask him, it's because of what's happening in the gym. He's like, man, I've never been in a better shape. I'm super focused. My energy is just through the roof, and everyone wants a piece of that pie, man. Everyone wants a piece of the guy who knows where he's going and he moves with certainty. So if you guys are looking for new opportunities and new ways to expand confidence, man, move in, move through your bullshit and move into your hard times. Anyone have, again, I use harsh words, but it's just my natural, actually who I speak. Does anyone feel as though sometimes we tell ourselves some stories? Does anyone else have that? Yeah. Yeah. And again, whether you choose to use the harsh vocabulary, quote unquote, harsh vocabulary, I do, is up to you, but that's the reality, right? It's just, we're telling ourselves some story, and it's holding us back from really accomplishing everything that we deserve to accomplish, or that we're not even deserve. I don't think that's the right word, but I think that we're capable of, right? You don't deserve anything, right? We don't deserve anything, I think, but we're capable of a lot more than we accomplish in general, most people. Yeah. So when it comes to setting goals, guys, even if we don't draw a direct correlation with my body and my financial outcome, or my body and my relationships, I can tell you with 100% certainty, and you probably already know with 100% certainty, when you look your best, when you feel your best, and you perform at your best, everything in your life is better. Yes? Yeah. So how then, even if you don't value your health and fitness, not everyone here values their health and fitness above everything. Maybe you're like, if you haven't done DeMartini's value determinants, do it, because it allows you to be conscious of, hey, here's my highest value. I'll give an example. I will stop everything, including this call, including my business, including my fitness for my family. My family is above all. I make this decision unconsciously. I won't make money for months at a time if my family needs me. I don't care. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'll figure it out. My family needs me. Second to that is probably my finances. And I'd say probably my finances and my business. My mission is probably second. Third, I would put my fitness. And most people would say, well, your fitness should be ahead of that. I'm like, it's not a conscious thing for me. I will absolutely sacrifice my current fitness routine in order to pursue my current mission in business. It's not always the right decision, but it's how I make decisions. So if I become aware of it, and I'm like, oh, well, when I sacrifice my physical body and my training, my business suffers, then I won't allow myself to do it. Or if I see that when I sacrifice my physical body, my family suffers, then I won't allow myself to do it. So draw the correlation between what you value highest and how fitness and health and the way you look, feel, and perform will change that thing. You guys with me? Okay. I'll pause right now. If anyone has any questions, comments, or feedback, or if you just want to say you think I'm crazy, you can do that too. So if anyone, actually, let me ask this question. Who wants to go all in 2024? Who wants to like actually see what they're made of in 2024? Okay. So fuck yeah. That's it, right? And here's the thing. If you don't schedule it, gentlemen, it ain't going to happen. Because as you know, if you're not disciplined and ruthless with your time, someone will always try to come and steal it. And it's not their fault. It's not someone trying to do something bad. They're just like, hey, man, I want your time and attention. And it's so easy to go, oh, yeah, I just want to play on social media for a little bit. Or yeah, my best friend needs my time. And they're important. They're not unimportant. But if you don't schedule your time to go all in on the things that are most important, it's not going to happen by accident. We're going to be sitting here in this exact same spot next year, being like, oh man, I'm still in the same place. My finances are the same. My body's the same. Our relationships are the same. Nothing's going to change. The only way to change is by scheduling this stuff, which is why I said the thing holding me back above all is my schedule. If I don't do it, I'm not going to change. Who's responsible for my schedule? Me. No one else. Yeah. So I just want you guys to, just see the opportunity to take responsibility and put the big rocks in first. Schedule your life. The most important things that you're, these are your non-negotiables. You schedule these into your day and you don't fucking bend. You just say, listen, man, I'm a nice guy, but I can't do this for you right now. Right. We all, someone is like, oh, we want to put other people first. Bullshit. You're putting other people first is you sacrificing yourself and giving, and you're letting yourself down. You're letting your family down. The only person that you need to be depend, well, obviously you need to be responsible for your family, but you need to put yourself first or schedule it and put your family first. Right. I don't think your family ever needs to come second, but you need to schedule things that are most important to you and make it non-negotiable. If it means you need to get up at 3 a.m. to do your fucking workout, get up at 3 a.m. to do your workout, right? You commit to it. And my suggestion is get your head around what that looks like, and then you'll be successful. And guys, I've been climbing this mountain of financial success and physical success and for a fucking long time. And I made a fuckload of mistakes. There's so many years where I wake up on Christmas morning and I'm like, I didn't make the progress I wanted. I didn't. And some years I'm like, man, I made so much more progress than I ever wanted to, or that I ever thought I could. And the only difference is how disciplined and ruthless I am with my non-negotiables. That's it. So my suggestion is you determine your 3 to 5 non-negotiables that you do every day. And you just don't bend. So rather than giving you guys tactics on how to set goals for 2024, I want to give you some strategy, right? This is a strategy, high level strategy. And again, so the one thing that I'm going to do in the beginning of the year, so you guys can know, and you guys are welcome to join me on this. Dr. DeMartini's got a 3-day master life planning course. And basically you sit down and 16 hours a day in front of a computer and you fucking write your life. You write the whole year in this 3 days. It's probably like $1,000. And you write your entire life. You're like, here's what I'm going to do in all these 7 domains. And he just literally makes you sit there and do it. He's like, there's no getting up. I mean, you obviously do what you want, but like sit there and just write your life. So again, obviously you have no affiliation with Dr. DeMartini. But like if you guys want to change your life, sit down and do it. You know, you're not going to do it unless you pay for it, sit down and like commit to being in this class because he's literally there walking you through it. You'll never block off 3 days and be like, oh, I'm not going to do anything for 3 days. I'm just going to sit down and plan my next 12 months. Won't happen. So pay the money, do the work. I've got at least 3 classes, probably 5 scheduled with DeMartini next year. I'm all in on that guy, man. That guy's going to change people's lives. What comments or questions have you, gentlemen?
So, Ben, I think this is super helpful. So, I mean, like, I feel like this is the time of year, in addition to my birthday, that I start reflecting on, like, how the last year go. Like, there's just, like, those little set times in the year when you go through that. And I've started reflecting a little bit on this year and what I want to accomplish next year. And so, I guess I got a question for you, but I'll lay out where I'm at and then get your thoughts. So, first of all, this year, I crushed it. I mean, in terms of finances and everything, like I had a phenomenal year at work. I'm an employee and I'm 35 years old and I just made over $250,000 this year.
Attaboy.
Last year I had 190, right? So like crushed it.
Yep.
I set up a side business about 6 or 8 months ago and I've done very little with it. And I keep making excuses about, well, I'm doing well as an employee. I don't want to disrupt this. Make a minor pivot to focus on a different niche. And I'm not spending the time to focus on that. And I don't know if I'm telling myself a story that it's better to focus on the real revenue generator for me right now.
What's the side business, Bill?
What's that?
What's the side business?
The side business is, it's called Strategic Outsourcing Solutions. And essentially what I'm doing is I'm helping people with a technical background in like engineering or manufacturing better connect with their customers so that they can expand business. I'm a technical person by my first degree. I have a degree in mechanical engineering. And then I moved into business and sales and I'm very good at it. And so what I'm trying to do is I originally set it up because I wanted to work with people more directly again. You know, I used to have, before I came to this job, I used to have a team of people and I like coaching them and seeing them get it. And then how that trickles down to their customers and their employees and their team members and all that stuff. So I set up like an online course and I ran like 15 people through it. And I did that at my current company. And within 3 months of that program being done, all those people went through it, delivered about $430,000 worth of new contracts with existing customers. I had to pivot to shift towards manufacturers because I can't sell this to competitors in my space. And I also cannot be a supplier and an employee to my current company. So I guess, you know, again, making what I am, I think there's a lot of potential with the side business, but there's part of me that's either telling the story or just nervous that, yeah, I really shouldn't mess with that, or I don't want to put a ton of time into it because I'm either A, concerned about what some of my coworkers will think when they find out that I'm doing something with it, or, you know, it's not something that could replace my current income anytime soon. You know, all those types of things. So I'm really trying to figure out how I reconcile that.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yeah.
What would be your daily responsibilities with that business? Like, you don't have to tell me time necessarily. You could say time, but I'm curious, like, what would be the things you'd be like, oh, I got to sell it, or I have to market it, or like, what would be the daily, the meat of the daily responsibilities?
So as it stands now, you know, I have to wear all the hats, right? So it would have to be selling it, delivering service, which, by the way I've set it up is it's an online training course, and it would require me to spend maybe 30 minutes a week per person that goes through it. And I could do some of those in group settings to deliver that. But the big hurdle is, the first hurdle is sales and visibility. The delivery schedule, I don't think that's a huge time commitment. I do have the course online, right? So I'm just there to bounce feedback off of. But the big hurdle is getting known and finding people to sell it to.
So the first thing that comes to mind, and I don't know, that's why I asked the clarifying question. I know that it's the answer, but it may be the answer, is, are all those 15 people that went through that course already working for your company?
Yes. Yeah, I did it as like an internal pilot, but I'm in a business called engineering services, but I can't sell it to the company I work for, and I can't sell it to competitors because that's a conflict of interest. So
yeah.
I've now shifted to manufacturers, and I've been, I'll be on a webinar. I'm doing a webinar at the end of January for a bunch of manufacturers in the state of Illinois. I don't know how many people show up to that, but.
Man, all you need, Bill, is an operator. Right. You need someone. So the term is an operator or an integrator. Right. So you need someone who basically can do it for six figures a year, which is a fucking great salary for many people. And you find a way to, if the business, if you believe in the product, you have to have the path for you is like put in an operator, someone to run it, and maybe they're incentivized on the sales and the upside of the business rather than giving a huge, you give them a small base and a percentage of the upside, and you just mentor them. So you're acting as a CEO. CEO doesn't do work. CEO leads and mentors. And so you're doing work, you're doing the mentorship and doing meetings every day or every other day, like 10-minute meeting. Hey, here's what I need you to do, go execute. So you basically need either a highly functioning executive assistant or a highly functioning operator. So if there's a book called Rocket Fuel by Gino Wickman, it basically talks about this conversation between the visionary and the integrator. You're a visionary. You need an integrator. So Phoebe's my integrator, man. Without Phoebe right now, this business doesn't move, because I'm very much a big picture in with people, like in behind the scenes, Phoebe's making it all work. And without her right now, the business is not doing what we're doing. We're not growing. The shit just doesn't move. So I could probably pull back my role to 10 minutes a day and incentivize her more to be like, hey, you build the team, go do this, do this, do this. And I'm just the guy who's the brains. She's the muscle, you know. That's what you need, man. If you believe in the potential of that business, like I would say the only way I would suggest you leave that business if the potential is 10x what you're currently doing. If you can 10x your current yearly revenue on that business, then it's worth pursuing. If you're like, maybe it'll 2x, maybe it's worth it. You decide. But like, yeah, if it's like 5 to 10x your current income, that's worth it. And so, because you could pay someone 250 grand a year if you're making $1 million a year in that business. So I would just get your head around that. What does it look like to find yourself an integrator? And you're just like, it's like a teacher, man. You're steering the ship. You're like, hey, go do this today. And you're basically like setting quarterly rocks and being like, hey, do this. This is our goal for the quarter. Go do this. And so your job is being the visionary, setting the map, and they're doing the work.
That helps. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll check that out. I mean, part of this is too, and I think I may have mentioned it before, you know, I'm surrounded by a lot of people that don't, I'm trying to be more conscious about the people that I spend time with in terms of, you know, hey, am I talking to more executives? Am I spending my free time with people that are at my level? And I don't mean that to be rude or above, correct. But I don't have a lot of people in that window. Right. So anyway, it's just kind of
join our crew in Marbella. So one of the reasons I'm separating the groups is the demand is very high. And the conversations are just fucking remarkable, man. Like the number of business deals that came out of Costa Rica is amazing. And the future business deals that will continue to come out of this is amazing. And it's not the intention. It's like you put strong, healthy, fit guys in the room and you're like, I want to collaborate. Let's talk about how we can make things happen. So like find a way to get into the room, man. It's either pay, not even our rooms, but any room. It's like pay for the masterminds, go to the events, like I guarantee there's stuff within a couple hours driving of you. Or you get in the room with those right people, you find it.
Okay. Thank you.
Pleasure, brother. Anyone else have questions or thoughts around 2024 and how you're going to crush it? Anything you guys want to share? Jimmy, what's new for you, man? I haven't talked to you in a bit. I want to acknowledge you, man. You're such a staple on these calls, brother. I really appreciate you.
Hey, guys. How's it going? What was the question you asked me?
Yeah, what's going on for you? What's big in your life and what's on the tap for 2024?
2024. Honestly, I haven't really thought too much about it just yet. I'm sitting here listening to what you're saying and I think I need to get to work thinking through some things.
Yeah.
I feel like the the fitness side of things, you know, me and Steve are getting that pretty, you know, fine-tuned and sharpened, so it's time to take some of that same focus and put into some of these things you're talking about.
Yeah, man. And if you need support, like talk to Coach and see what Steve has any suggestions on, you know, questions you can ask or resources, and I'm happy to share anything that I can ever support with. You know, fire a message into the Telegram group if you ever need questions or answered or books or resources or anything. Like, I don't have all the answers, but I have a pretty decent idea on some things.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, so I, you know, business side, you know, here back home, I have myself and my business partner. We do buy and rent real estate properties. So we try to, you know, we're scaling fairly slow at this point, but I'd like to ramp that up a little bit. We're adding usually 1 to 2 properties a year over the last 3 years. So
and now the question becomes, and this is also a relevant question for everybody, is like, is that enough? And if it's enough, then fuck, don't do more. I mean, like, dude, I'm doing 1 to 2 a year, I'm good with that. Because like sometimes more isn't always what it's cracked up to be, right? We're always in this culture of like, hey, you need to have more and do more and be more, and you're like, nah, man, I've got the life I want.
Yeah.
Yes. Think about it. Yeah, if you're happy, man, that's the best. Yeah. Man, you know, the one thing I wish somebody had told me when I was 15, maybe they did, but I was too stupid to hear it. All life is about is finding a way to have your passive income exceed your active expenditures. Like if you just figure out that equation when you're 15 years old, everything changes. Because now you don't have to do anything. You get to live the life that you choose rather than you have to. And some, obviously you guys will acknowledge, if my passive income exceeds my active expenditures, well, then I have no worries. Everything's covered. But what tends to happen is what? Everyone's expenditures go up. I need a new car, I need a new house, I need new shoes. But I was like, if you can just kind of live disciplined for a couple of years and allow yourself to accumulate a little bit of that passive wealth, God, what a beautiful freedom to just go, yeah, I have all my expenditures covered. Now I can do what I want rather than what I have to. And so I'm sure you guys all have this, you know, thought and for the most part covered. But if you don't, you know, Bill, that's your golden goose, right? It's like, how do I just get this business to do enough so that it covers all of my passive expenditure or active expenditures. And now my income over here in the business, that's all gravy, man. I could just put that into investments. Like that's the equation of life. And like, man, why doesn't that taught in every high school across the country? And you know, like figure that out, right? Because nobody wants you out of the loop of depending on the government.
Ben, I've got a question for you.
Fire away, buddy.
So I've read half of this book called The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Thinking Time.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my question. Like, have you implemented that exercise? And how often, if so, because I'm struggling to sit down for 45 minutes. And it's powerful because I've done it for 15 minutes on, like, with over a question of how would I run my business differently if it's solely dependent on referrals, right? Or so it's essentially, for those who don't know, it's the exercise is you writing down 5, 10, 15 questions, deciding on one or two of them, and then spending 45 minutes to an hour maybe in a room, no phone, no distractions, thinking about how you would answer that question and write down as many answers as possible and then go and implement. So my question for you, Ben, is have you implemented that? Have you used it? And do you have any tips for anyone who's sorry?
I do it a lot. So cool. I do that exercise a lot. I do it, I wouldn't say once a week, but probably twice a month. Because man, I've got so many things on my plate. I find that if I don't do it, I just spin my wheels. So like I need to get one clear on all of the things I have to do, two, what I need to do to automate, eliminate, delegate, right? That's it. I need to automate this, eliminate it, or delegate it. And so I'll make this list of things I have to do. I'm like, what can I get rid of? What just doesn't need to happen? And there's a lot of stuff, man. But yeah, it's a useful experiment. And if I'm being honest, the way that I have historically been most successful with it is just microdosing mushrooms. If I microdose mushrooms, my ability to stay focused on that task or LSD, my ability to stay focused on that is completely different. It's just like, you're in and you're like, you can write for hours on microdosing. Not that I nice. Advocate or condone the use of psychedelic illicit substances.
Cool. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah.
Ben, this is Zach. I have a question. You have talked a lot about meditation and the importance of it and that it's part of your daily practice. That is one of my goals, is to learn how to do that and to implement that this year. How do you work that into your schedule?
Yeah, good question.
Like, is that in the morning or in the afternoons? Like I'm kind of struggling with where to find time in the day to schedule it.
Yeah. Hard to say for, I can tell you what I do, but hard to say with you without knowing your schedule. Right. I would say in the beginning, just start as soon as you open your eyes, like set your alarm 5 to 10 minutes earlier and just like sit up in the end of your bed or sit on a cushion on the floor. Just right off the end of your bed. Don't do anything else and just sit. And so the better you get at it, the faster it becomes, the more beneficial it becomes, and the less curated the environment needs to be. In the beginning, you're going to be distracted, like everything's going to pull your attention. But the better you get at it, you can do it anywhere. Once it's like contracting your bicep, right? Once you figure it out, you're like, oh, I got this. I know what this is supposed to look, feel, and experience, and the experience is supposed to be like. So I would say the best time to start is first thing in the morning, because there's no distractions at that point. There's no email, there's no cell phone. Just like I'm going from, this subconscious existence of sleep to staying in that subconscious kind of low alpha, high theta brain state.
And do you usually do it for like a shorter period of time, like you said, like 5 or 10 minutes, or
no, usually longer 20. During I'll the day? At least or... 20 minutes. I mean, I'll tell you, there's something magical about 45 minutes, though. Like if you can get into that 45 minute space, which is obviously very long, but maybe you just do it 2 or 3 times a week on the weekends or whatever. There's something really magical when you start going longer. In the beginning, you'll fall asleep and you won't be able to keep your attention, but or your butt will start falling asleep or your back will start feeling uncomfortable, but eventually there's truly something magical that happens for me after that 45 minute point. It's like, I have these like transcendent out of body experiences where it's like, I'm writing my life. I'm like, I can manifest everything. When I just do that, I just write my life. So making the time, you're like, I don't have time to do that. I'm like, it's the only thing you have time for. Like, the only thing you should have time for, because it's just creating your life. I really believe in manifesting. I really believe in like your energy, your frequency, your vibration determines your outcomes. And you can just completely change it if you're willing to sit in meditation long enough. Because otherwise you're a victim to your environment. Your environment creates you rather than you creating your environment. As an example, if I sit down and meditate, I can create energy of gratitude, joy, happiness, fulfillment, all that stuff. I can create that state, that literal vibration in my body. And I live in that vibration. If I just walk out into the world, not having done anything to create my state, then the world creates my vibration. And I become this chaotic, very like disconnected vibration, right? So I think we did it in Costa Rica, Zach. It's like, can you embody gratitude? And if you embody gratitude, you're literally embodying the vibration of gratitude in that moment, like literally. And so if I can take that vibration of gratitude into life with me, or the vibration of abundance, I can take that into life with me. I take that into the room, any room that I go into, rather than me walking into a room and having all of you guys create my energy. I come with an attitude of abundance and leadership and integrity or gratitude, and I bring it to you. And because my energy is strong, if it's solid, if it's like, I know this energy and I can embody this energy, then you guys benefit from my energy rather than me being influenced by all of yours.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
All right. Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a bit, sounds a bit weird and esoteric, but I think it's a literal thing, right? I know it's a literal thing.
Ben, I've tried to get up in the morning and meditate, but I just feel like I'm still super sleepy and I can't, you know, the room's still dark. Should I turn the lights on? Should I walk into the living room? Kind of, what are your thoughts on that?
It's okay if you're super sleepy. Like, so it's okay, right? In the beginning, the thing that will that I'll suggest you do, and we did this a lot in Costa Rica, is the thing that keeps me awake is I create this like deep level of tension in my pelvic floor. Like I'm pulling my balls up into my stomach, like stopping your pee midstream, and I'll create this tension, which keeps me tall. Because if I find myself slouching, then I know I'm sleeping. So I'm really trying to pull up with my pelvic floor. I'm literally trying to pull the energy through my head. Like I want to pull everything up, which is literally like, guys, if you pull your ball in your stomach, you're pulling everything up. And I'll try to keep that energy upwards through my meditation, which keeps me awake. It keeps me focused on something and prevents me from getting distracted or falling asleep. And dude, if you fall asleep, you fall asleep. But like, you don't judge yourself. You're like, oh, I guess I was tired today. Tomorrow I'll hopefully sleep a little bit better. But at least you're doing it. Just create the habit, man. Even if it's 60 seconds, sit on the cushion. And eventually you'll be like, oh, I see the benefit of this. I'm going to sit for 2 minutes. That's it. Usually have my cushion beside me.
A curiosity on that meditation topic. I mean, usually when I get up in the morning, I roll out of bed and I exercise right away. Is there benefit to doing it like after a workout?
Totally. Yeah, if you can. It's gonna be harder, but you can. Yeah, because it'll be harder because you remember, like if you think of just brain states, right? Gammas being this like really high level state, beta is where we most live, beta is where we are now. Alpha tends to be this very kind of meditative transcendent state. Theta is the hypnagogic state where you're transitioning into sleep, and then obviously delta is sleep. And so if you think of like when you wake up, you're transitioning between theta and alpha primarily. There's some beta in there, but you're transitioning between theta and alpha. That's where you want to be for meditation. If I go and do like a workout and a pre-workout, and now I'm in really high beta, maybe going into gamma, and then I have to now downshift or down regulate to being in theta and alpha, you can do it. It's just not going to be as beneficial in the beginning until you're a master. Bill, your workouts will be better if you meditate. Sounds weird, but they will. Your ability, like if you guys envision or take on workouts as meditative, like the better you focus, the better your workouts. Right? The more meditative you are, the better your workouts. If you're distracted like a squirrel, you train like shit. You guys have all experienced that. You come in the gym, you're distracted. You're like, oh, I'm all over the place. Workout's garbage. if you're like laser focused, man, your workout skyrocket. And all of you experience that. Most of you experience that in Costa Rica. Like the level of focus and intensity just goes. That's why we started every day with a breath work, a meditation, and mobility. It's like center yourself, be present in the moment. Now go train. Oh, look, my body can do a lot more than I realized.
I have something, you know, as we were talking about earlier, one of my problems right now, and I would love advice on, you know, and maybe I'm sure other people are kind of do deal with the same thing, is like having relationships, I think, with people that don't do what we do, people that do drink, people that, right. And that's like, I think trying to find that balance of trying to be social without drinking. And for me, I find myself like, I tell Coach Andrew all the time, like, I'm trying to do that balance where, like, I'll have somebody come over and we'll have dinner and then they've got to stay till midnight because, you know, it's hard for me to kick them out, or I'm hanging out with a group and everybody wants to go out and stay out later. And it's like, I need to get to sleep. That's for me where I think I've continued to struggle.
A female partner comes over and stays late, or like just a friend?
No, just a friend. No, so married, two kids. My wife likes to hang out, but I'm like the old man of the bunch currently, you know.
So, man, I'll tell you this. When you start to accomplish your goals and everyone around you sees you accomplishing your goals, they're going to ask you what you did and how you did it. And then you're going to tell them. And if you constantly compromise on your goals and your non-negotiables, you're never going to accomplish your goals. You're never going to get where you want to go. You're going to be disappointed in yourself. You're going to lose self-confidence, and you're going to miss the opportunity to lead those people around you. Sometimes in the beginning, those people, they're not doing it on purpose, but they're just like, they're dragging you back to their energy because that's what they want to do in that moment, or they don't have direction on where they want to go. And when they see you having direction, like, holy shit, you're crushing it, man. I see all the changes you make, and I see all the commitment you put in. You give them permission to do the same. So simply by being the highest and best version of yourself and being willing to be like, guys, I just don't do this anymore. Or I even will say like, hey, I'm in the middle of coaching, or I'm coaching with somebody right now, and this is what they asked me to do. Or you let them know in advance, man, like, you're going to lose some friends, no question. But you're going to gain some much better ones who have alignment with who you are and what you're about. And that's the goal, man, is like, you keep up leveling your friends or narrowing your circle of relationships to people who are better for you, value alignment, right? So you're going to lose friends for sure.
And I feel like I have all the people I need. It's just like creating that circle, which is like, right, a huge part of muscle intelligence is having a core group of people around you to share the same vision. I just don't have it in my personal life. I got some gym rats at the gym that I don't hang out with outside of work, but you know, trying to figure out that, like, outside of work, outside of the gym, outside of here, what does that look like for me?
Here's one thing that really helped me is like, every minute that you spend with those people who are not in alignment with you is a minute that you're not spending with the people who are potentially out there. You're kind of occupied. You're like, oh, I'm with these people. I don't really like them all that much. They're occupying time, but all that time could be invested on like going out and meeting the new people who you actually are wanting to be with, you know? So while it's hard to kind of break those ties, and sometimes you're like, I need to be by myself, eventually you can, you'll find the people who are more in alignment with you, man. You just do the things you love, bro. Do the things that bring you so much love and joy. And you'll find, you know, even if it's by yourself, you'll find that one person wandering on the fucking hiking trail, like you, by themselves. You're like, oh, look at this. Another person who's just like me. And you'll find those people, man. You'll find them in the gym. You'll find them in the grocery store. You'll find them on the hiking trail. Whatever's inspirational to you, whatever inspires you most. Yeah, Andrew said isolate to elevate. Totally. Man, I spend more time on myself than most people.
For sure. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. And I encourage you just to realize that it only takes a minute to meet incredible people. And the more you show up in your values, like know your values consciously and live within them, and the people around you will become a reflection of those values. As soon as you allow yourself to compromise your values for other people, the people around you will always represent other people's values, not your own. Man, if I'm gonna sound like a salesman for DeMartini, but take DeMartini's breakthrough course. It'll change your life, man. It'll completely change your life. The guy's a savant, and his ability to articulate behavior change and human dynamics is, there's no one on the planet as smart as that guy. Yeah, nobody.
Then I want to add just to what you just shared with Joshua. So Joshua, I was in the restaurant industry, and I know that based off of my experience anyway, it's such a cultural norm to go out, stay out late, sleep in, drink, party, all the things. But in my experience, when I was working in kitchens and writing menus, et cetera, when I did what Ben just mentioned in terms of just sticking to core values and putting my foot down, it actually gave a lot of other line cooks, maitre d's, managers, whomever we hung out with, it gave them more confidence to do the same. So what I'm getting at is you start to, like Ben said, you start to attract the people who want to do better and keep up or do more, and you start to cut out or avoid those who don't want to change, who don't want better, who don't want to be healthier, who don't want to improve the quality of their living. So there's a pretty badass thing that happens when you start to do that more consistently. I just know that it can be tough and challenging in the restaurant industry, because again, it's like a cultural norm to do all those things, but it's a pretty dope thing that happens when you do it consistently. So, yeah.
And you're the leader you follow, I guess, right? That's the final statement. Be the lighthouse in the storm, man. People will follow.
That kind of reminds me of when I worked in restaurants too as well. And at first, I socialized with them, never drank. And after a while, I decided to just connect with them by, through drinking, but they're like shocked to see me drink after like so long not drinking. I was like, damn it, you're drinking and that stuff. So this determines, you know, yeah, you could, especially I was a very hard worker at the restaurant, and they just like, boom, Dominic's like set the bar and that stuff. And so, yeah.
So. Thanks for sharing, brother.
Yeah, for me, I'm a chef at a private wine club, and so the weird thing is, like, you know, everybody drinks, and it's obviously excessive, and I don't drink, and it's you know it's just for me currently it's a weird place to be around because it's not, you know, I'm great at being a chef, and drinking goes hand in hand with that, again, not for me, but just part of the business that I'm in. And so it just creates challenges.
What city are you in, Jeff?
Dallas.
Curious. I'm like thinking, like, got to find yourself at like an uber healthy restaurant that makes just badass food. And you know, again, there's nothing wrong with people drinking, man. Like
No, there's not.
Yeah. Just like, you just got to be kind of firm in your decision, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I tell people no all the time, right? It's all the time. Have a glass, and every once in a while, right? If depending on who it is, because maybe they're opening something from, you know, 75, or I'll have a sip, right? I'll taste. Nothing wrong with that. But you know, as what we were talking about earlier, as far as like upping your game going into 2024, none of this stuff's helping me, right? Trying to, you know, kind of what Bill's talking about. Trying to find a side hustle and something that I can elevate and do. And I talked to Coach Andrew about it in some different conversations, but just to bring in some more money and also just to keep pushing, like, how can I keep pushing myself? Myself and my chef career is doing really well. Right. I'm an employee. I get taken care of, but there's hours in the week and in the day for me to do other things. And to build something on the side. And, you know, I'm just kind of at a, I'm at a loss of what exactly that looks like a little bit. Like, I kind of wanted to be personal training, because I've always been doing chefing. And so obviously this has been really inspiring for me to be in this group for the past 8 months.
And I have so many ideas for your chef. So what do you need to make to leave your current position?
Oh man, I mean, I bring home about 150,000 now. But the thing is, I don't want to open my own business, right? I don't want to be the CEO. I don't want to be the dude per se. I'm more of an entrepreneur. I want
to. Here's the business that would like you crush it. And I had a guy. I filled a guy in Tampa doing this. So I hired a guy as my personal chef, and he was charging so little. And I was like, bro, you're charging too little. Charge this. You can charge me this. And then I started filling him up with all my friends and colleagues. So he ended up making, you know, just working himself, he was making, I don't know, probably 10 grand a month. And then maybe less, maybe eight. And then he got an assistant, like a sous chef. So that allowed him to go faster so he could increase the number. And the chef was obviously not making a lot of money. I was like, well, stop chefing, stop doing it yourself and start hiring chefs under you. So like, I think now he's got five or six chefs under him who just literally go into people's houses, they buy the groceries, they ship it in, they prepare it, they put the stuff in the meals and they leave. That service is very valuable because like people who have money don't want to go to restaurants because the food is shit. Not necessarily the taste, but the quality.
Yeah.
They want it prepared in their own house. Like you can make good money on that, man. And you could have a business, especially if you're like curating the menu and like every person, it's a good business.
There's a large market here. I mean, I'm right in the center of the money. I mean, Mark Cuban's got a house down the road. Like this is where it's at in Highland Park,
yep.
You know, but it's what Bill was saying, like, man, there's just comfort zone of getting a salary and I'm scared is, you know, do you do it? How do you start small? Do you go big? Do you do this? Do you do that?
The answer to that question is you determine your expenditures. And you make sure you got your expenditures covered first. You're like, hey, man, I know I spend $6,000 a month, you know, mortgage, car, insurance, whatever. This is how much I spent. Food. I got to make sure I get at least that in return. And then the upside is how hard you work, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Man, again, I can't answer that question, but I'll tell you the worst thing in the world is getting old and going, fuck, I didn't do what I want to do. You know, and yeah. Dream big, man.
Ben, just on that quickly, because I know we're a bit late on time. Thoughts, ideas, inspiration for setting the bar high? Like, I think the best example I've got is signing up to Muscle Intelligence when I did. I never thought I could lose the weight I did. So I had that in my head, and that kind of held me back. Well, I'm never going to get to where I'm, you know. So that was my thing. And then in the business side of it as well, and Andrew cops it all the time from me, it's I have imposter syndrome in a lot of what I do, even though I'm very good at what I do. And it's how any ways to kind of set the bar high without kind of setting it so high you kind of fall off. Any good reads or exercises apart from the D Martini stuff to
set the bar high as far as what, Keith?
As in believing, as in going, yeah, I can 10x my business and I should, rather than setting the bar high and then going, geez, that's a long way to go. And with like not believing in yourself on something, as you know, it's like, yeah, well, if I get halfway there, it's good enough when right. It shouldn't well, be.
Yeah. So the first thing I'll tell you is positive thinking is bullshit. Positive thinking doesn't work. What works is taking disciplined action. So if you're like, hey, man, I'm going to 10X my business. I don't give a fuck if you think positively about it. What I want you to do is go, what are the first three steps I need to take to move in that direction? So you don't need to like do anything as far as thinking big. You set the goal. And the only thing you're thinking about is what are the one, two, or three next actions I need to take consistently to make sure I get there. That's it. And like, and then you're like, oh, I haven't 10x my business, but I increased it by 50%. Great. What's next? Right. So it's an iterative process, you know, and maybe as people, because human beings are drawn to progress. We see things moving. We're like, oh, I want to go there. So when people see you moving and making progress, new opportunities come. So I think the only thing is like, think big, man. Here's a book. 10X is easier than 2X. Dan Sullivan. Get that book.
I was just going to recommend that. I've got another one if you're open to it, Keith.
100%.
Okay, there's two other books. The 10X Rule you might have read or heard about by a guy named Grant Cardone. There's a better book that he has that's a little bit lesser known called Be Obsessed or Be Average. That he wrote after the 10X Rule. And I personally think it takes that book to like a whole other level in terms of getting out of your own head and kind of starving the doubt and getting rid of that. There's a whole chapter on feed the beast, starve the doubt that might be helpful to you. It's called Be Obsessed or Be Average.
Haven't read that one. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Gents, I appreciate you all, man. I value men that show up for themselves and for their family. And I appreciate you all for just being the lighthouse in the storm. Go to work. Glad we're here to support you. Have an amazing week. Oh, no call next week. We'll miss next week, Christmas. You guys all have an amazing Christmas. Have an amazing, safe New Year. Don't drink too much. Don't eat too much food. Make sure you always squat on New Year's morning, 6 a.m. Everyone's in the gym. Let's fucking go. See you guys.
Merry Christmas. Thank you, guys.